Good morning, everybody. Next Sunday, we are doing baptism, and we really want to encourage you to invite somebody next Sunday. We're doing one service, 10 o'clock to about noon, and we are going to have a baptism. We did it on purpose because we wanted to, those that get saved that morning, next Sunday morning, we're just going to baptize them right away. There's no classes you have to go through to understand it more, prepare your heart, just understanding that. So I want to really encourage you to do that. Also, you might want to bring a change of clothing for them. If you've got somebody coming, just kind of in faith, bring a change of clothing. Don't say why, you just bring a change of clothing and get prepared. And who knows what the Lord will do. I think we have some t-shirts, right, coming in that we've ordered, and it's for that. So we'll be doing that next Sunday, and I want to really encourage you to be a part of that. That if you heard what Ben said on Friday, we are literally doing Friday, encouraging you to do some random act of kindness. When the Lord just brings somebody across your path somewhere or the other, the old song that my buddy Clay McLean wrote says, I know you can't save the world, but what about the part that's standing right in front of you, just an arm's reach from your heart? And so God's got all people that's coming across your path. And so that'd be a great time. So we're really looking forward to next Sunday. It'd be a great time. Both congregations will be together. And it'd be Easter. And we do one service, combined service. And we have the curtains down and all this and that. So really encourage you to be. All right, everybody stand up now that you're comfortable and have everything seated just exactly where you want to stand up one more time. It's very healthy. You know, we're doing this. Let me put this in tighter. I can tell it's cricket. All right. The verse we're using is, as he spoke these things, many came to believe on him, started attending Victory Harvest Church. And so Jesus was saying to those who had believed on him and attended Victory Harvest Church, if you continue in my word, then are you truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I told you this, truth will never make you free, only the truth that you know. And when did we change that? That if you abide in me and my words abide in you, when did we change and that became some to-do list thing you checked off in the morning that you read the scripture? As you're drinking your coffee, as you're taking a bite and quickly got through it and said, okay, I did it. When did we ever exchange that for abiding in the word? Abiding means to live. Abiding means to be. So literally, that's why you aren't changing, because unless you're abiding in the word, you'll never know the truth, and the truth then will never set you free because you don't know it. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. We're Americans. We go to Pentecostal church. We're charismatics. How is it you say we'll become free? And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever, though. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. All right, let's pray. Father, today we pray for that transformation to happen, that the printed page becomes truth to us, that what we hear becomes truth to us, that what we take in, we meditate on, we ruminate on, it becomes real to us, and we know that we know that we know. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. We are talking about slaves no more, and Jesus talked to a group of people that had become believers in him. And the Bible says he then talked to them about slavery. He talked to them about being enslaved by certain things, and they thought, and erroneously and incorrectly, that they were free. We're free. We're free men. We've never been in bondage. They were absolutely deceived in terms of physicalness. They'd been enslaved. Israel had been enslaved many times. And then secondly, they were enslaved by their own emotions and by their own life, because Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And I've learned this in my life, until you have your emotions under control, You're really not free. And, I said this, we're a product of our life's experience. Our reactions to present circumstances is governed by our past experiences. And in the sense that we overreact to small things tells me and tells you that you're not free. Because if you are overreacting, if you're literally just overreacting, then you're not free. There's not a healing. There's something that needs to be taking place in your life. And I believe our perception of the present can be distorted by past hurts. That's why we react like we react. When we are not free, we react certain ways that later we say, man, why did I do that? Why did I act that way? Why would I even do that? And so our perception of the present is distorted if we've not dealt with the past. And we're going to deal with that today, and I think it'll help us. To the extent that we react violently to simple problems, conclude that we're bound to the past emotionally and cannot respond normally to present situations. If you know anybody like that, I was like that at one time in my life, and so I understand it. People that have been bruised in their emotions. That's why Jesus said this in Luke 14. He said, I have come. It's the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal the sick, heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised. And we picked up on that word bruised because it's a big word in the Bible. It's a word used at the very dawn of creation, this word bruised. And literally, he uses this word because he said, I've come not to heal the bruised, but it set at liberty those that are bruised. Because bruises cause bondages. Bruises is what binds people. We talked about it, I think, in the first lesson. How bruises will bind you to the person that bruised you. It'll bind you to the past. It'll bind you up emotionally. It will bind you. There's a binding to it. That's why the Lord came on the scene. He said one of the big things he pulls out of Isaiah and he used about why he came. He said he listed all these other things, but the last thing he said was, I've come to set at liberty every one of you that's been bruised in life. Every one of you that's been bound up by some bruise is caused a bondage in your life. I've come to set you free from that. And we talked about the bruises because in Genesis 3, it literally talked about God comes in the garden and says, talks to the serpent. And he said, because you've done this thing, because he enticed Eve, and Eve then took it to Adam. Adam, with full knowledge, did what he did. Eve was deceived. And God comes to the serpent and says, because you've done this thing, there is going to be I know what you've done. You've come to bruise my creation, which he did. He bruised Adam and Eve. He said, because you're going to, there's enmity now between you and the woman's seed. And then he says, you're going to bruise her seed, and he's going to bruise your head. Speaking primarily of Jesus, but I use it in the overall sense. The devil's come, and his desire is to bruise every one of the seed of the women, of the woman. Every person born in this world, the heart desire of the devil is to bruise you. So where you literally get bound up in bondages, that you see, because sin is not the only occasion the devil gets into a person's life. He gets into it. That's why, because we've had to deal with demonic activity in children's lives who are perfectly innocent. But because of a bruise or because of a giving place to the devil, we'll talk about it in a moment, but it opens a door to where the devil can come into a child's life. And so we've had to deal with that and understand. We thought, well, only if you sin. No, there's other avenues that he comes into. So we talked about bruising. We talked about how Jesus was bruised in life, how they bind us. Bruises bind you to bitterness, bind you from loving and not loving each other. And some of the deepest problems a person will ever have has to do with those that were closest to them. You don't have to worry about people far away. We'll talk about that. But here's what we originated. There are really three deep roots that come out of bruises. One of them is rebellion, which I'm not going to go over. I'll go that another time. But rebellion is one of the deep roots that come out of bruises, a rebellion. You had enough is enough, and you just rebel. The second one was rejection. Last week we talked about the root of rejection. That is something that comes out of a deep bruise. And we did a whole service last week just on the spirit of rejection, how that plays out in a person's life. But today we're going to talk about the third one, and that's literally called the root of bitterness. Because out of a bruise can come a root of bitterness that can play itself out in lives in so many different ways. And let's just read it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it said, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of... Can you come short of the grace of God? It would not say that or warn us. And this is New Testament. It would not warn us of this if you could not come short of the grace. How many think if you come short of the grace of God, you're probably in trouble? You come short of the grace of God, you probably are in trouble. Because to see to it that none of you come short. Well, how do you do that? What are you talking about? Next phrase is it. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Because a root of bitterness cuts you off from the grace of God. It'll cut you short from the grace of God. It's where the grace of God is no longer then covering your life, protecting you, moving you, providing for you. And so see to it that none of you come short of the grace of God. Because if you've allowed a root of bitterness, which is a product of a bruise, if you allowed the root of bitterness to come up in your life, it can make you come short of the grace of God. Literally, you'll understand all that. But it's called bitterness. It's called a root because literally that which is inside of a person, you can't see it. It's a root. It's the root of it. And it gets in and it gets in the door, not because of sinning, but because of a bruise. And when let me say this very clearly, bitterness is the seedbed of every demonic work. Bitterness is the seedbed of every demonic work I've seen in people's lives. So let's talk about it a little bit. Bitterness, number one, the bruise of bitterness or the root of bitterness. Bitterness, the poison of the soul. We were not made to run on bitterness. Like a car was not made to run on water. You put water down the gas tank of a car, you're going to have problems because that engine was never designed to run on water. It was, gas. And we were never made to run on bitterness. Whenever you introduce or allow bitterness to come into your life, you're allowing something that literally will destroy your engine of your life. Many of you have experienced that. Many of you felt that. You felt just physically you felt it. Well, the churning of the stomach and the chemicals that are released in your body and how it just distorts everything. And bitterness is literally the poison of the soul. That comes from, and bitterness can come from lots of places, but it starts off in a parent-child relationship. You get bitter. There's a lot of people say, don't tell me that God's my father because, and they go in this long story. Or my mother, and they go in this story. Others have good moms, good dads. But literally a lot of the hurts. And then literally it comes from husband-wife relationships. That can be a big bruising place. But Psalms 55 says it this way. You've got to understand, bruises come from those that are close to you, not far away. Somebody over in India, what they do, I don't care. Doesn't hurt me, doesn't bother me. It's the people closest to you that bruise you. Watch this, what he said. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could have bore it. Nor is it one who hates me. This is speaking of Jesus and Judas, but it can be to any of our lives. It's not one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. Wouldn't bother me. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. We who had, and literally says that, listen, those, when you deal with people, when you're ministering them, let me give you a word of advice. Always deal with the closest relationships in their life. That's the problem. The closest relationships is where those problems stem from. They're not some foreigner, stranger. Always deal with close relationships. Number two, bitterness pollutes your whole system. Bitterness pollutes your whole system. Comes in your speech, comes out in your actions, your attitudes. It even breaks down to physical health. People, doctors can tell you that bitterness is to the body what some salt or sand is to the engine if you pour sand down an engine. Number three, bitterness always pollutes other people. That's the bad thing about bitterness. You just don't have bitterness by yourself. Hebrews says it that way. It says, see it to no one comes short of the grace of God, no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by it, many are defiled. One of the most contagious things I've ever seen is bitterness. One of the most contagious racial attitudes. You may be saying them in jest and fun and halfway kind of thinking about it. But what do your kids pick up on it? Those around you pick up on it. Bitterness defiles other people. Your children, your loved ones, it defiles other people. So it's one of the most contagious things you can have. It literally just does it. Marriages. In the Old Testament, every time God dealt with an evil nation, you know what he'd do? He said, wipe out the dad, the mom, and all the kids because sin always affects other people. Number four, bitterness builds walls of isolation. People that become bitter, normally they just build up walls of isolation. Fear of further hurts. Distrust of people, inner hurts, weaknesses being exposed, loneliness, all that. Number five, bitterness always results in broken relationships. Bitterness always results in broken relationships. Because no relationship can stand bitterness. Destroys. It's a destroying agent of relationships. You let bitterness stay in a relationship, that relationship will not last when bitterness gets in there. It won't last. It literally, no relation can last it. You cut people out of your life. You're very critical of other people. So one of our deepest problems is always deal with those closest to you when you're dealing with people with problems, especially bitterness. And relationships, listen, a person with bitterness has a history of broken relationships. It'll cause you to be critical of others. And let me give you three things, the damages of broken relationships. Let me tell you three things that broke, because you've allowed that bruise to become bitterness. The next step then is that bitterness will break relationships. And let me tell you what broken relationships will produce in your life. Three main things. Number one, it will produce blindness. Bitterness, listen, broken relationships because of bitterness will produce blindness. When we reject someone, it's a form of hatred. Look what John says. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates. Everybody say hates. Do you think there might be some bitterness there? Who hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. That would refer then, if you're in darkness, you are going to stumble. We do that a lot. If you try to walk through somewhere with no light on. Who left that in the middle of the room? But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going. Because the darkness has done what? Blinded his eyes. Broken relationships blind you. When you have got a history of broken relationships, it blinds you. You end up blinded. You're walking in darkness. And it causes blind spots. It keeps you from acting wisely. It keeps you from seeing yourself like you really are. Everybody else is wrong. Well, you're everybody else. You don't even see yourself. And you can't see other people the way they are, really. You just assume it in your mind because you're blinded. You're blinded. So whatever comes up in your mind, that's the way they are. That's what they're doing. That's why they're doing it. That's what they're doing. You're blinded. You're blinded because you can't see. When you live bitterness, give me your life, you had a history of broken relationships, it blinds you. You're not acting wisely. You're not walking wise. You're stumbling in the dark. You're not seeing yourself right, and you're not seeing others right. Right? Then number two is it causes insensitivity. Literally become, to get rid of blindness, we won't get rid of a spirit of bitterness, but you deal with relationships. Life becomes self-centered, no proper regard for others. Number three, broken relationships cause immaturity. You'll find people 40 years old acting like they're a teenager, screaming at people. You know why? Because when you get wounded in your emotions, you stop growing in that area of your life. You grow up physically, grow up mentally, have a degree. you can have a doctorate degree from somewhere. I had a person that had a doctorate degree. They came into me, and I'll just say this. Their husband, they don't go to our church. So I tell stories that don't go to our church, right? They came in and want to talk to me and had a doctorate degree. I got to confess something I just did. What'd you do? Just keyed my husband's car. Really? Just keyed your husband's car. Yeah, I saw him out somewhere. Da, 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 da. I keyed his car. How many know a doctorate degree won't keep you from keying your ex's car? Just thought I'd throw that in there for you. Emotional growth stops at the time of injury in that area of your life. And that's why personality does not mature with the body. Emotional growth resumes when there's healing and release. That's why you can literally just... See, maturity comes with relationships. You hear this? Let me tell you how mature I thought I was. You know, for 7 years, I pastored this church single. You learn a lot of things when you're single. Let me give you some ideas. Number one is you learn it's better not to make your bed. Is that right or wrong? Because if you leave the covers open, your bed airs out. Is that right? If you make a bed, what happens? You smother all that stuff in there, and it just gets dirty. If you leave the bed unmade, you air the bed out all day long. When you go to bed at night, it's all... Let me ask you another thing. How many know it's easier not to dirty a glass? You can just drink out of the jug. Come on, somebody. Is that right or wrong? You don't have to dirty a glass. I mean, you think how much water you save. You're helping the environment. You're doing all these kind of things. Another thing I'm going to tell you what to do. It's better if you lay your clothes all over your house, because if you stick them all in one little closet and close the door, what happens? Stink, and they smell, and they grow things in there and all that stuff. But if you lay them on your bed, on your couch, and on the chair, what happens? They air out everywhere. How many know you can wash floss? How many know you can wash floss and reuse floss? You learn a lot of things. Now, you learn a lot of things when you're singing. But then guess what? I was thinking, I learned all these things. Jack's not here, but we had a ministry over in Hammond, and Jack Iverson and Jimmy Withers had the apartment, and we learned something. I learned something from them. You know the best thing to do is just keep all the dirty dishes in the sink, and then until you're going to eat or cook the same thing, and go pick it out and then use it again. And I learned, Jack taught me how to know if a spaghetti, when you're cooking noodles, how to know if they're ready, is you take them out and you throw them against the wall. If they stick, they're ready. Now, let me tell you, the problem was I got married and Jasmine had never been taught all these things. Okay, let's go on. Okay. It must be the anniversary of Jim Jones. I don't know. They had some specials on Jim Jones this week. And Jim Jones was a guy back many decades ago that literally got hurt and bruised in his life. He got bruised in his life, and he let it grow into bitterness. And in the bitterness, and let me show you, it ended up with him with almost 1,000 people in Guyana, in a town they renamed Jonestown. Is it Jonestown? And it's the old phrase we get, don't drink the Kool-Aid, comes from that situation where he had cyanide in Kool-Aid and with Valium, and they drank it, and 900 some people died right after they had killed a U.S. congressman, had gone down there to investigate it and shot him, some ABC and NBC reporters, and slaughtered them at the airport, and then they all committed suicide. And a few people survived it, but almost everybody died, children and everybody. And literally, when you rewind the tape of this man's life, it began with a bruise. And that's why Jesus gets so overboard with this. I mean, he literally just goes on the overboard. And let me give you the destruction of unforgiveness. When you get bruised, if you don't deal with it rightly, bruises become resentment. Resentment turns into bitterness. Bitterness becomes hatred. Hatred becomes rebellion. Rebellion leads to immaturity and deception and immorality. And then deception becomes perversion. And if you ever study out Jonestown, it was absolutely perversion. It run its course. And that's why if you just look at your life and deal with bitterness to start with, it makes such a difference. Bitterness is the seedbed of every activity, every demonic work. It'll destroy any Christian. It will cause you to come short of the grace of God. It's something you've got to lay the axe to. It's something you have to deal with, because it will cause you to lose the grace of God in your life. You'll come up short of the grace of God. So let's talk about forgiveness, because you don't cast out a spirit of bitterness. That's not how you deal with it. That's some demon you go in and you cast out. Okay, now I feel so much better because you've cast out. You deal with bitterness by dealing with relationships. You deal with bitterness by forgiveness. So let's talk about forgiveness. Number two, forgiveness. Let's see what we can do with it. All right. The word in Luke chapter 6, there's a phrase given in the English Standard Version. It says, judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And that's not, though, the normal word that's used for forgiveness here. I want you to read it in the New American Standard. You kind of see it. Do not judge, you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, you'll not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. And so understanding the negative of that is, if you don't pardon, you won't be pardoned. One translation says, it's the word released. Release, and you shall be released. So the negative of that is true. If you don't release, you won't be released. Remember that bruises bind. It's a bondage. And in dealing with that, out of that, if you don't deal with bruises, one of the deep roots is rebellion and rejection. But the third deep root is bitterness. It's a root. It goes down deep inside of you. And let's talk about that a little bit. Matthew, it's a story, but I want to read it again. All of you know it. It's because that we know it, we read it so many times, we lose the impact. And the impact is, I would love to have had a camera on Peter's face when he's saying all these things. He comes to the Lord and he says, Peter came and said, Jesus, Lord, how often shall these knuckleheads that I go to church with, Peter, you know, I mean, James, John, Judas, all the rest, how often shall my brothers sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. And I told you the story before. The Pharisee said three. He thought he was being big-hearted. He thought he was going to such an extent that Jesus' jaw would drop. And I've not seen so great for no, not in all Israel, Peter. I've not seen so great forgiveness. And Jesus said to him, No, not seven times. But we got to get so radical about this thing, you think I'm fanatical. Now, why would Jesus get so out of bounds on this? Why would Jesus get so out of bounds when he's dealing with bitterness? Because he knew there was a sin. I don't think Peter asked this question just out of the blue. Something was going on. Something was going down. And he comes and he said, listen to me, tell you something. We got to get radical about this. We got to get so far out of bounds on this, it's not even funny. Not seven times. 490 times. And it's hyperbole. He's not even saying 490. He's just saying, hey, just you go until there's no more going. You just go. There's no end to this. There's no end to it. Why did Jesus get so radical about this? Why did he say, he said, not seven, 70 times seven. For this, and then he gives a story. This reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared. Everybody say compared. What we're in, the kingdom of God, what we're in, here's what we're going to compare it to this. Here is a comparison. Let me give you a story that you never forget. Here it is. A king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves, king is God, when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife. Always, always, always affects everybody around you. Doesn't just affect you. Affects your husband, your wife, your kids. Affects everybody. Commanded him to be sold along with his wife, his children, all that he had, and repayment to be made. Slave fell on the ground, prostrated before him, said, have patience, I'll repay everything. The Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him. Everybody say released. That means he got released from his bonds, his bondage, and forgave him of it. But that slave went out, found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So the fellow slave fell on the ground, began to plead him, saying, have patience. Ever saw that scene before? Anybody ever saw that scene before? You ever seen that scene before? Yeah, he had just done it. He had just done that. Don't ever forget the night you fell on your knees and asked God to forgive you. Because I deserve it, God. No, you didn't say that. I didn't really mean to do all those things. Yeah, you did. Don't ever forget that. Have patience with me and I'll pay you. But he was, everybody say, unwilling. I just can't forgive him. No, you could. You just won't. You don't know what she did. I just can't. I know. You're saying you can't, but really, you're unwilling. Remember what I told you, that obey and do the law commands, but neither gives me feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, it bids me fly and gives me what? God never commands you to do something that he would not give you the strength to do. I've had to pray, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. You ever been there? I'm willing to be made willing. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you wouldn't? And you pretend that you can't. It's really a pretending, because he can give you strength to do anything. It's just that you won't. And you justify it by whatever means you want to justify it. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison and should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what... Now listen, Peter, stand there listening to this. Seven times. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, came and reported to the Lord all that happened, and summoning him, his Lord said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? in the same way I had mercy on you. As Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the, everybody say, torturers, until he should repay all that was owed to him. Now here's Peter standing there. Jesus standing there. And here's what Jesus says. Looks at Peter straight in the eyes. So will my heavenly Father do to you. Listen. So will my heavenly Father also do the same to you, Peter. If each of you, then he looked around to everybody, does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now let me tell you something. Whether you know it or not, bitterness causes you to lose out on the grace of God. And Jesus looks at Peter straight in the face. Let me say, let me give you a definition of forgiveness. It means to be released. The word means literally to be released. Apollyo, the word he forgave him, it means to be released or to loose. And forgive means to send away. So forgiveness is really release and you shall be released. Pardon and you shall be pardoned. Don't pardon and you lose out on the grace of God. Don't release and you lose out on grace. You come short of the grace of God. And literally you'll defile many people. Now, B is this. Let me give you forgiveness releases the hurt of the past. The one who carries the hurt is bound to the past. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say here. You're unable to live in the present. How many would want to live in the past? Why wouldn't you want to live in some hurt? Why wouldn't you want to live? That's where your life is living. You're bound to it. You carry the hurt. You're bound to the past. Flows into present relationships. Let me, number two. Now, listen to this. This is very important. Number two. The one who carries the hurt is bound to the people of the past. If you carry bitterness, you are bound to the people of the past. And let me tell you something I've learned in my life over and over and over again. I've watched this. Forgive, and you become like God. Hold bitterness, and you will become like the person you're holding the bitterness against. No, I don't believe that. My daddy was an alcoholic. I said to my own, never. Yeah, but you may not do that specific thing. But you end up like him in all the other ways. And the bitterness in your life, you become like the person that you either forgive and become like God. See, if that slave would have forgiven, he'd have had the same forgiveness that the king had. He had the same heart that the king had. He'd become like the king. But because he didn't, you hold it. He became like that slave that he put in prison. He put that slave in prison. Guess what happened to him? He became just like him. He got put in prison. You don't read about the king releasing that other guy because it was real. It was true. The second slave owed the first slave the money. Maybe cheated him. Maybe didn't pay him back. He owed it. And he never read about the other slave getting out of prison because it was real and honest what he did. He could do it. He had the right to do it if he wanted to. But because of that, he came short of the grace of God. He became just like the person he held the bitterness against. He became just like the person he wouldn't forgive. Became just like him. He's in prison, I'm in prison. He's in jail, I'm in jail. I'm in torture, I'm being tortured, he's being tortured. So the key is, who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like that person that bruised you and hurt you and, yeah, it was right, yeah, it was wrong. But forgiveness has nothing to do with them. They don't deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. But you're not doing it just for, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to be free. You're doing it because you want to be like God. Who sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Who's good to the righteous and he does. God is, you leave all things to God. So I made up my mind a long time. I don't want to be like that person. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to end up like them. Hurtful and mean and cussing and cursing and all. I don't want to be like them. I want to forgive and release it. I want to be like God. Because you only know it. You only know this when the pressure is on. See, when I step on a sponge, I didn't produce what came out of that sponge. Only the pressure it is. You are what you are under pressure. The old saying was, we're like tea bags. We're no good till we're in hot water. Come on, somebody. And you don't know what's inside of you till the pressure's on. All of us look good today. Is that right? All of us, we're clean. Most of us smell good. Some of you don't, but most of us smell good. Hair's combed, teeth brushed. eyelids, eyebrows done, plucked and done, and everything looked nice, and we just got makeup on. We look good. I've always told you this. See, everybody asks me over and over, is makeup a sin? No, but wearing it, not wearing it is. Come on, somebody. If the barn needs painting, that's what my own motto was. If the barn needs painting, paint the barn. That's what I always say. All right. So when you do that, so listen, so you have to understand, the one who carries hurt is tormented. You literally will be tormented by demonic powers. It does no good, listen, it does no good to try to cast the devil, demonic powers off somebody if you haven't dealt with the proper, the fortress, the whatever it is that he's hiding in. The Bible says this, give no place, I got that scripture on there, don't I? Is it Luke? I forgot. It says, give no place to the devil. Well, if you couldn't give place to the devil, why would he even command that? So you can give place to the devil in your life. And when you give place to the devil, he will take it. He never ever says, I don't think I want that. No, I don't think I'll take it. No, I don't want that. Whatever you give it to him, he can take it. And he has a right to be there because it was given to him by you. How do you do that? One of the ways is bitterness, a root of bitterness. Literally gives place to the devil in your life. And the Bible says, not only in your life, but many will be defiled around you. So one of the keys is this. I've learned to tear down fortresses. The Bible says, we've been given mighty weapons to the tearing down of fortresses. I've learned when I fight a battle, wouldn't you think it'd be a whole lot easier if you went up against an enemy if somebody had already removed the fortress he was hiding in? Or the walls is already holding you out. Man, when that gets stripped, man, the fight is so much easier. So if you're dealing with the demonic powers, deal with relationships first. Deal with problems first. Deal with issues of bitterness, all that stuff first, before you try to deal with demonic activities. You don't do that. So you have to understand that. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, he says it this way. Pray this our way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Set his rule. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, watch this, forgive us our debts, same way as we've forgiven our debtors. Notice the next phrase. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Never, never, never pray deliver us from evil if you haven't prayed, Father, forgive my debts like I forgive my debtors. Because when you deal with that first one first, you're tearing down fortresses. You're tearing down, you're taking back ground you've given to the enemy. You're taking back, you're stripping the enemy of everything he's hiding in. Everything he's shielded from. And so, Lord, forgive me my debts as I'm forgiving all my debtors. And then deal with the demonic, deal with the tempter, deal with the evil one, deal with the evil out there. You deal with forgiveness first. I've learned that in my life. Because if you don't, there's going to be fortresses and things you come in you don't know how to deal with. On and on. So the forgiveness releases God's spirit. Number C, releases God's spirit in you. Because forgiveness releases forgiveness for you. Look at these. Mark 11. Let's go through these real quick. We didn't have time this morning, but let's go through them. Forgiveness releases. Truly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea will be granted him. Don't, but we like this. Man, we love this scripture. Man, faith and moving and doubt and heart and believes. He'll say he'll be thrown into the midst of the sea. Therefore I say, next scripture. Therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask and believe, you have received them, you will be granted to you. Whenever you stand praying, what does it say? Notice how that just, poof. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. If you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not. You think you come short of the grace of God if you don't forgive? Forgiveness is a big deal. I told you one night I had a guy do something to me and when I worked at the state of Louisiana. And I remember I went home that night and I took two pots. And I don't know why I did this. I'd walk up and down my apartment and I'd beat those pots. I will not hold bitterness. Bam! I'd beat those pots. I'll never forget because we had, you know, back in those days, it wasn't the luxurious apartment. So walls were paper thin. I'll never forget the neighbor said, go ahead and forgive him and quit hitting the pots. Forgiveness as we forgive others. Forgiveness releases God's healing for you. And then D, Forgiveness will go the second mile. I'll never, look, Matthew, look at that when you go to the scriptures, Matthew 5. If you have heard of this, said an eye for an eye, you've heard it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you, now watch this, slaps you on the right cheek. Now notice he particularly said slap you on the right cheek. Now let's just say you and I are fighting, all right? And let's say that you're going to punch me. If you're going to punch me, most everybody in here is right-handed. There's only, you know, the left-handed people are few and far between. But imagine if you're going to slug me, which cheek are you going to hit me on? On my which one? Yeah, you're right-handed. You're going to hit me you're going to hit me upside the head on my left. He particularly said, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, is that what he said? That's why it's so nonsense to teach our kids. Get the bully in the schoolyard, just beat you to a pulp. You say, I love you, and just stay there on the pulp. Has nothing to do with that kind of stuff. You don't teach your kids to be pacifists where they just get plummeted on the school ground. I remember this. Ben one time broke his arm, and these boys were picking on him, and Sue Chapman was the teacher back there. Sue went over to Ben and said, hit him with the cast, Ben. Hit him with the cast. Come on, somebody. Which he did, and which he went to the principal about. But notice what it says, because that meant a backhanded slap. That, you know, if I backhand you, you backhand somebody. If you backhand them, you're belittling them, and so that's the way the Romans did the Jews. They just backhanded them. It was on the right cheek. Turn. But if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt. Let them have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do that? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than they? Don't even the Gentiles do that? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your head. Forgive, you become like God. Hold bitterness, you become like the tax collectors. The heathen who only greet their own people, the ones that love them, that's who they love back. You become just like them. The truth is, you hold bitterness toward anybody, you're going to become like them. You may not do the very specific thing, but you're like them. I'll never forget, I had a guy come talk to me one time. He doesn't go to this church. I only tell stories. I don't go to our church. He came to my church, and he said they wanted to come in for counseling, and I did. And they had been in ministry, and now they were sitting out, and the wife was in an affair, another guy. So we're sitting in there, and I began to zero in with the wife, and the husband's there with me. She, in a moment's notice, gets up, opens the door, runs down the hallway in our office building, runs out that door. And her guy she's in adultery with is waiting out there in the car. She jumped in it. Within a short period of time, she divorces her husband, marries this guy. This guy divorces his wife. And their grandparents, I'm talking they have grandkids. And went off the deep end and went and got married, stayed in Baton Rouge, and tried to start another ministry. Flopped on the ground, and they were destitute. They have no place to live, this woman and her guy. Well, this ex-husband did the unthinkable. He bought a trailer and had them move in a trailer behind his house. Come on, somebody. He's a better man than me. Come on, somebody. And but I talked to him. He called me and said, I want you to know what you heard it, but I want you to tell you what. I said, well, yeah, I heard it. He said, what's going on? He said, well, he said, my whole family's mad at me. All my extended, they can't believe I've done this. He said, well, let me tell you what I did. I did it for me. He said, I was getting so bitter, I couldn't handle it. He said, I was getting so bitter, it was eating me up. So he did. I did the unthinkable. I just went beyond. I went the second, third. I went the 25th mile. He said, you know what? He said, I won't go into all detail, but he started helping him. He said, you know what? He worked the bitterness out of me. He said, a memory? Oh, yes, I absolutely remember it. He said, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It got the bitterness out of me. It got the bitterness out of me. It was amazing. Got the bitterness out of me. And I've always told you to do this before. I told this story about the guy came in. He was so bitter about alimony. His wife had cheated and lied, and they couldn't prove it. And she got a big thing of alimony. And he said, every month I write out that check, I get so bitter. I said, well, don't write that check again. He was happy until I said, write more. If anyone compel you to go a mile, do what? Every Roman soldier, the law was, if he found a Jewish male over a certain age, he could take his backpack off, and that Jewish male had to walk a mile with that. That was Roman law. And Jesus comes on saying, when you get done with that first mile, smile. Say, won't we go another one? Let's go one more. The first mile works the bitterness in. The second mile works the bitterness out. Do good to them. Why are you doing that? Because I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like those Roman soldiers. Every Jew that threw that thing off after a mile walked away bitter, just like the Romans. They're just like them. They're just like them. So I know this wasn't a hoopla and shouting one, but let me just tell you, one of the keys in your life, it'll change your life if you just walk in forgiveness. You become like God. Forgiveness does not mean what they did was right. It has nothing to do with that. Forgiveness means I'm now releasing this to God, for vengeance belongs to Him, saith the Lord, not me. So I'm going to do good to Him. I'm going to work that bitterness out of my life. Get out of my life. I want to be like God. I don't want to be like that person, that ex-husband, wife, child, mother. You name it. I want to be like God. Everybody lay everything aside. Would you lay everything aside? Bring the lights down a little bit low. And some of you are a slave to bitterness. Some of you are a slave. It's a deep root in your life. It's defiling you. Some of you are bruised, have been bruised in the past, and you react so out of character. You just react violently. You react emotionally. And a lot of it comes from a bruise, either rejection or a bruise of bitterness, a root of rejection or a root of bitterness. And that is deep within you that you just need to know, hey, I have come to set at liberty them that are bruised. I have come to set you free. I have come to release you. I've come to set you free. Come on, Nick, come on up. We'll just do the piano. I've come to set you free this morning. There is a release that the Lord wants to do in your life. And so this morning, I want you just as we were speaking, people came up in your heart, in your mind, maybe an old coach, maybe an old friend, maybe an ex-wife or husband, maybe whatever it may have been. But this morning, the real key is you don't want to be like them. You don't want to be like them. And yet at times you see yourself and you say, you know, honestly, if I really had to say it honestly, I'm just like them. I'm violent. I'm a cuss. I get angry. I manipulate. I hold things. And I certainly don't want it to defile my kids. I certainly don't want it to defile my marriage. I certainly don't want it to defile my family. I certainly don't want it to defile my grandkids. I certainly don't want it to defile. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I don't want to end up being like that person. I don't want to hold, because bruises, bitterness binds you to the person. And death doesn't do any good. It might be somebody's already passed on that you're bitter at. How many know breaking a relationship doesn't stop all the pain and hurt of that relationship? Leaving a former church because you had bitterness and hurts there, still got him over here, still bound to it. And if anything ever happened even near that, you'd blow up so high, you may be like a 4th of July going off. So when you come to the place where you really forgive, yeah, Pastor, I just can't. No, you won't. You're unwilling. See, say, Lord, give me the wings of forgiveness. Spirit of God, give me the wings of forgiveness this morning. Well, I always said this, that forgiveness begins with a choice, but it's finished by grace. See, because of that bitterness you've been holding, you've shorted yourself the grace of God. That's why you've not happened. That's why you feel like you're not able to do it. But once you make the decision to do it, guess what happens? The grace of God floods into your life. The grace of God that you've been shorted of now comes in droves. And the grace of God comes in, and you're able to do that. You're able to speak good of them. You're able to forgive them, really forgive them from your heart. Not from your head, from your heart, Jesus said. From your heart, you forgive them. And this morning, all of us living in life has been bruised. All of us. It's the one aim of the devil, to bruise all of us. so that we can't have relationships anymore, that we can't do any of that because the devil wants us bruised. And so this morning, I want you to do this. Tear down walls of isolation. Tear down walls of that you've done. And say, Lord, I forgive. And I want you, whatever it is in your life, might be multiple people, say, Lord, I forgive. Make the decision. Make the just like you did to be saved. Make the decision. Lord, I forgive. I forgive. And then you put the name, you add the names. Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. I forgive. Vengeance is yours. I'm giving a cup of cold water. I'm doing good to those that have persecuted. I'm doing good. I forgive. And so then right now, Lord, I pray right now, would you let the grace of God come in? Would you let the grace of God flood? Would you let it come in now and help us? Lord, we bid, Lord, a better word the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. God never commands you to do something he will not give you the grace to do. So right now we ask for grace. Right now we ask for the grace of God. We ask for it. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for any roots of bitterness in people's lives. I pray for radicalness. I pray for extremism. I pray, Lord, to just knock it out of the ballpark. Unlimited. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Can you give the Lord a good clap offering? Would you do that?